Got to have that popcorn.
All right, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn this morning prior to the message. And let's open up to 88. We'll stand and sing hymn 88. I'm so glad that one day we shall gather at that blessed river above and enjoy our precious Savior forevermore. We will sing the first, the third, and the fourth of hymn 88. Praise the Lord.
Shall we gather at the river? Angels feet have trod with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of shining river, lift we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and a crown.
Amen.
Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God on the fourth. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, the beautiful. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, folks. Good singing this morning. And I'm so glad that day is coming shortly. We'll be raptured out and we'll be gathered together to meet our Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, glory. And you imagine what heaven's going to be like, folks. We're so blessed today to know him, to know the truth of his gospel. All right, let's grab our Bibles this morning and open up to one of my favorite books of the Bible, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. We have a most amazing passage here. And how many of you knows that everything is in the Bible for a reason? Amen? The Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, has his word exactly the way he wants it for our comfort, admonition, and learning. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And here in 2 Chronicles 18, what we have taking place, beloved, is a divided monarchy where we have the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah. All 12 tribes make up the north and the south, but 10 of the tribes were ripped from the kingdom of Solomon by a man named Jeroboam, a very evil man. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, made Israel to sin, meaning he set up his own religion of idolatry and took 10 tribes to the north and founded the northern kingdom. Samaria is the capital of the north. Now, here in chapter 18, we have a wicked king. His name is Ahab in the north. And then we have a good king in the south named Jehoshaphat. Amen? Look with me here. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. It's approximately 900 years B.C., by the way. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Uh-oh. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance for the people that he had with him and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes. And they sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenina, said, made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. I want to talk to you this morning, beloved, briefly on Micaiah the faithful. Micaiah the faithful. Father in heaven, how we thank you, Lord God of Israel. How we thank you, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, Redeemer and Savior of the world, we thank you this morning for your holy word. We thank you, dear Lord, that when you needed a man to stand in the gap, you raised up one Micaiah to speak the truth of the word of God to the king. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, Micaiah was faithful. I thank you that he's a shining example of the faithfulness of a true servant of the Lord God of Israel. We ask you to bless your word this morning, Lord, and may your Holy Spirit reveal to us the truths you have us to take and apply to our Christian lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Please be seated, folks. The year is actually 897 B.C. Ahab, or really Jezebel, is king of the northern 10 tribes because she wore the pants. Jehoshaphat is king of the southern tribes, godly king, capital of Israel, Jerusalem, and Judah. We have what we call here a divided kingdom, a divided monarchy. This split occurred approximately 80 years prior to this scene in chapter 18, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, took with him 10 of the tribes, went north, and founded Samaria and the northern kingdom. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, retained 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and retained the southern kingdom where Jerusalem was, the temple was, the true worship of God. Jehoshaphat is king over this kingdom, the southern kingdom. Israel, the northern kingdom, has been warring against Syria for some time. Why? Because of the sins of Ahab and Jezebel, the northern king. Ahab tries to persuade Jehoshaphat to come with his army to help him fight the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead, because he knows that Jehoshaphat has the blessing of God upon him and his armies. He knows that they'll win the battle if he can just convince Jehoshaphat to fight with him. Now, Jehoshaphat, as a godly king, was supposed to, says that they must inquire first of the Lord God of Israel before going to war against anyone. Amen? Now, Ahab has a false religion. He has a false worship, and he has false prophets, 400 of them, to be exact. The only true prophet of God to be found in the land is in prison where Ahab stuck him. His name is Micaiah. And I want us to focus in this morning, beloved, on this man, Micaiah. I want to give you three things concerning Micaiah, and I'll be done. First, we want to see who he was. Second, we're going to see how he was treated. And third, we're going to see what became of his prophecy. First, who was he? Who was this Micaiah? First, he was an holy man of God. Amen? He was not a false prophet. He was not like the prophets of Ahab and Jezebel, but he was an holy man of God. He was a true prophet of God. He was a preacher of truth. Glory to God. Now, look with me here in our text in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And look with me at verse 6. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here? Jehoshaphat knew that these guys were false prophets. His eyes are open. Amen? And he says to Ahab, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, a true man of God, besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Oh, yeah. You hate the one who tells you the truth. I tell you this morning, beloved, the best friend you've got is the one who will tell you the truth, whether it hurts or not. Amen? But I hate him, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. Yeah. He doesn't tell me what I want to hear like my prophets. He tells me what God says. I hate him. Why? Because Micaiah was an holy man of God. Micaiah couldn't be bought. Micaiah couldn't be paid off. Micaiah couldn't be compromised by pressure. Amen? He was a true man of God. Who was he? In the eyes of God, differed tremendously from who he was in the eyes of man. Amen? They stuck him in the dungeon. They said, this man is evil. Oh, no, he's not. He's a man of God. His name, Micaiah, means who is like the Lord. Micaiah, who is like the Lord. Listen, Micaiah was like the Lord. He was an holy man of God. He was godly or godlike in his character. He was the Lord's mouthpiece to the people. He was the Lord's representative to the people. He was the Lord's lighthouse in a very dark place. Amen? You, beloved, are a lighthouse in a very dark place. We all have a sphere of influence, and we need to be known as God's servants. Amen? Micaiah had that reputation. 2 Peter 1:20, don't turn there, says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. But what men? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. If you're going to be a man of God, a woman of God, a holy one, you've got to be moved by the Spirit of God. Micaiah wasn't moved by King Ahab. He didn't fear Jezebel. Micaiah was a holy man of God, and he was moved by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Now, it is recorded that when the Roman emperor arrested Chrysostom and tried to make him recant of his Christianity, he shook his head and said, never. The emperor then said to his guards, throw him into the dungeon. No, said one of the guards, he will be glad to go there, for he delights in the presence of his God in quiet. Well then, execute him, said the emperor. No, said the guard, for he will be glad to die, for he wants to go to heaven. I heard him say so the other day. There is only one thing that can give Chrysostom pain, and that is to make him sin. But that we cannot do. The God said, oh, emperor, this man, he's an holy man of God. You can't make him sin. Who was Micaiah? First, he was an holy man of God. Who was Micaiah? Second, he was a tempted man of God. Look back in our text at verse number 4. He was a tempted man of God. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning, men and women of God, that you will be tempted in your Christian life. We all face temptation. Preachers no different. Every single one of us are tempted to sin. So was Micaiah. Look at it. Verse 4, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And therefore the king of Israel gathered together with the prophets 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. They told him what he wanted to hear. Then he goes down and he says, Jehoshaphat says, let's inquire of the Lord by a true man of God. Bring me Micaiah. The king of Israel, verse 8, called for his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imla. He's not happy. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne. I want you to get the picture in verse 9. They're both seated on kingly thrones in the gate of Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom. Beloved, picture the scene. Thousands of the Israelites are gathered together to see if they're going to go up to fight at Ramoth-Gilead. The two kings of Israel are seated on their thrones, and they bring Micaiah out of the dungeon to speak to them. You talk about pressure? One man in the midst of all those thousands would speak the truth of God's word to them. Amen? Don't you think he was tempted to lie? Don't you think he was tempted to just go with the flow and tell the king what he wanted to hear? He was, but he didn't. He didn't, because he was a true man of God. Now, the messenger that Ahab sends to fetch Micaiah tries to persuade him, tempting him to tell the king what he wanted to hear, just like the false prophets did. Look at verse 10. He says, thus saith the Lord, Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, is a false prophet. Verse 11, so all the prophets prophesied so. Everyone with one consent. Verse 12, and the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king. With one assent, let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. He says, tell the king what he wants to hear. And we'll give you a steak dinner tonight. You know, we'll bless you. We'll give you riches and gold. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. Micaiah couldn't be bought. Amen. Listen, the temptation to Micaiah was to please man rather than God. Hey, all 400 of the other prophets spoke smooth things to the king. But the man who stands as God's messenger must be prepared to stand alone. Listen, your sphere of influence, you may be the only Christian in there. You may be the only light God has placed in that company or in that association. And God wants you to stand alone. But you're not alone, you're with him. Amen? Micaiah knew that God held his hand. Paul said in Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Men pleasers are no servants of our God. They're professional, paid wolves in sheep clothing. And there's a bunch of them behind our pulpits today. Tell the people what they want to hear, preacher. Tickle their ears. Don't step on their sin. Don't tell them the truth. Don't interfere with their worldly, carnal lifestyle, preacher. Paul says, you better please God and not worry about what man is going to think. Hey, I know people that won't come to this church because they don't want anybody stepping on their sin. You know what they want today? You know it. That's why there's empty pews in this church this morning. They want a church where the preacher will get up and preach the most syrupy, sweet, smooth sermon they've ever heard. Oh, that's so lovely. And then go live like the devil the rest of the week. That's not happening around here, because Christianity is no game. Amen? I'm so glad that we're not playing church like Ahab's false prophets telling him what he wanted to hear. Scottish history records that at the famous Battle of Bannockburn, the cliff dwellers employed by King Bruce leaped onto the horses that were carrying the heavily armored English knights. They then inserted their deadly daggers into the little cracks between the pieces of armor, killing those knights. Listen, those little chinks in the armor cost those knights their lives, and they knew where to find them. The devil knows your weak point, and that's where he will attack. And he was a holy man of God. He was a tempted man of God. But thirdly, this morning, who was he? He was a faithful man of God. He was a faithful man of God. Look at verse 13 of our text. Verse 13, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, he knew something they didn't know. God's a living God, beloved. He's alive and he's present in church this morning. Amen? As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. Now, Micaiah says, I'm going to stay faithful to my God, despite the fact that the whole world is turned away from him. I'm not joining the crowd, the broad road that leads to destruction. I'm staying on that straight and narrow path that leadeth unto life, no matter who else quits on God. Folks, people are quitting on God today. Churches are emptying out. Pastors are quitting preaching, the ministry. And we're in a sorry shape in this Laodicean church age in which we live. What am I saying? I'm saying, like Micaiah, we need to stay faithful. We need to keep going for Jesus Christ, beloved. The truly faithful man of God will never shun to declare the whole counsel of God. We need holy men of God like Micaiah, who when they're tempted to compromise the truth to appease the majority, will stand faithful unto God and to his word. I'm so glad we've got the King James Bible. We're not trading it in for a new perversion. Amen? We've got the word of God. It's just fine the way it is. All these folks making money out of making new Bibles and changing God's word, the Bible declares a curse upon them 3 times. Both testaments. You can't trifle with God's word and get away with it. I don't want to be guilty of changing one single letter of the Bible, let alone word. They omit entire passages of scripture. When Martin Luther, in 1517, nailed his incredible 95 thesis to the cathedral door, he didn't particularly care what the bishops, the cardinals, or the pope thought about it. Amen? He took that 95 thesis, he took his hammer and nails it, nailed it to the church door. And he said, there's your Catholic church right for you. And it had a list of 95 false doctrines of the Catholic Church. He nailed it to the door of the church, man. People were like, whoa, he's got no fear. They're going to burn him at the stake. Boo-hoo, send me to heaven. Martin Luther didn't care. Folks, he was faithful, amen, to the truth of God's word. Go with me to Jeremiah 23. Hold your place in 2 Chronicles. We're coming back. In Jeremiah 23, don't miss this, we have a bunch of false prophets telling the children of Israel what they want to hear in Jeremiah 23. See, Jeremiah told them, you're going to go into captivity in Babylon, boys, if you don't repent. God's going to send you into captivity. And these guys come along and say, no, he's not. Jeremiah 23, verse 1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Time out, church. You see what God says about false preachers in verse 1? Woe be unto them. Folks, I am so glad that I understand the serious obligation of my calling. This is no, we had some guys in Bible college, you know, and you could tell if a guy's called to preach. Some guys get into preaching for money. Filthy lucre. Come a televangelist, you know. Send me your $1,000 seed money and God will bless you. Hey, buddy, why don't you send me $1,000 seed money and see if God blesses you? Mm-hmm. You know? Why? Because woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil, and their force is not right. Verse 17, look at it. 17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. You know what that is? That's the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. You can live any old way you like. As long as you come to church on Sunday morning, put your tithe in the plate, you're going to be blessed. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. They lie. Look with me at verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, watch it, and God is speaking, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. God says if a true man of God will preach my word to the people, they will turn away from evil. That's the power of anointed preaching, folks. That's the Holy Spirit working through his word. It's got nothing to do with me. It's God working through his word. Verse 26, look at it. 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. which think to cause my people to forget my name. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word. What's the next word?
Faithfully.
Faithfully. Faithfully. I'm here to tell you this morning that Micaiah was a faithful man of God. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? He says, you don't need the chaff of false doctrine. You need the wheat of my holy word. Amen? Back in our text, look at this. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote toward the close of his life, the greatest compliment anyone ever paid to me was spoken by one of my outspoken enemies. He said, and I quote, here is a man who has not moved a single inch forward in 50 years of ministry. In the year 1892, Spurgeon is still teaching the theology of the first century A.D. He is still proclaiming the same doctrine and theology that was current in Nazareth and Jerusalem 1900 years ago. Spurgeon said, that was the greatest compliment I've ever gotten in my life from my worst enemy. The guy knew that Spurgeon wouldn't change his theology because it was right according to God's word. Listen, Spurgeon remained faithful to preaching a risen, reigning, coming Savior till his death. All right, we've seen that Micaiah was an holy man of God. We've seen that he was a tempted man. We've seen that he was a faithful man. But secondly, notice how he was treated. How was he treated? Look with me here back in our text. I see three ways in 2 Chronicles 18 that Micaiah was treated. First, he was hated. He was hated. Look at verse 7. And the king of Israel, Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Now think with me here, church. Why was Micaiah hated? He tells you in the verse, because he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. That's a lie. He prophesied that God would judge him if he didn't repent, but that's not an evil thing to say. It's the truth. Micaiah told Ahab the truth. He told him what God said, and he hated him. You know what, folks? Sometimes when you tell people the truth, that they better repent of their sin and get saved, they need to get born again or they're going to end up in hell, they will hate you for it. Yeah. They'll despise you for it. Why? You're the best friend they've got because you're not letting them go to hell without a warning. Amen? Listen, he was hated for his faithfulness to God. Listen, there's a great lesson to be learned here. If Ahab had loved God, he would not have hated God's messenger for telling him what God said. All those who hate God's servants do actually hate God. Don't miss me. Don't miss me here. All those who hate God's true servants do actually hate God. Now listen, Ahab's problem wasn't with Micaiah. It was with God. Amen? He took it out on Micaiah, but his problem was directly with his maker. Look at 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings, flip back. Prior to 2 Kings, you'll find 1 Kings. And look at chapter 20. Look at this passage. In 1 Kings chapter 20, look with me quickly at verse 34. Got to move. Verse 34, we read, and Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities which my father took from thy father I will restore, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, this same Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with them and sent him away. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Now this guy is a true man of God. And he said unto him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. And then he found another man and said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting him, he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king, Ahab, by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself has declared it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him, that he was of the prophets, the true ones. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. Now, what's happening here in this passage is that a true man of God goes to King Ahab, this same evil king, and tells him the truth. And look at verse 43, his reaction to God's message. The king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased. Why? Because the man of God told him his doom. You, buddy, he said, your days are numbered. Your people will be destroyed because of your disobedience. You know what we need in America today? We need a leader who fears God. We need a leader in the White House who believes this book and will stand for righteousness and not evil. No, no, they hate the servant of God. They hate the true messenger of God. So they surround themselves with evil. You notice that? This regime down in Washington, D.C. is surrounded with evil. Every single one of them. Wicked, reprobate, apostates, they're evil. And this is what our leaders are surrounded by in Washington. And you wonder why America is in the mess it's in. What they need is a man of God to go down there and tell them what saith the Lord. And then we need to do it. He was hated. He was hated because he told them the truth. Now, the early Christians were so hated by the Roman Emperor Diocletian. Diocletian was wicked. Oh, he was blood-drenched with Christian blood. That in his attempt to destroy all the existing Bibles and Christians, Diocletian invented new ways of execution for them. He used outrageous cruelties in killing and torturing countless masses of the faithful. And when he had imagined that he'd put an end of them, the Christians, he had a coin produced bearing this inscription: the Christian religion is now destroyed, and the worship of the Roman gods is now restored. Oh yeah? I got news for you, buddy. Christianity is alive and well 2,000 years later, and the Roman gods are destroyed. Yeah, he had a coin minted. The Christian religion is now destroyed, and the Roman gods' worship is now restored. You know what? He didn't want the truth, Diocletian, and he didn't get it. Then something else concerning how he was treated. Not only was he hated, he was mocked. Back in our text, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, notice this. He was mocked. Verse 22. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. That's true. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak to thee? Now, I want you to get the picture here, folks. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, he's a false prophet. He's got a demon, okay? He's got a demon because the Bible says he's got a lying spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's another spirit, right? But look what he says in verse 23. Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to thee? He pretends to have the Spirit of God. What a liar. He's mocking the true man of God, Micaiah. He says, buddy, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I've got the Holy Spirit. I tell the king what he wants to hear. Now listen carefully, beloved. Zedekiah is a false prophet. And we know that false prophets and men pleasers do not have the Holy Spirit of God. Now, look at verse 23 again. He says, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak to thee? This guy is so deceived that he believes that he's speaking by the Spirit of God. Now, this is the mark of every true false prophet. In fact, the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with anyone who is a mocker. He's mocking the man of God. Micaiah is being verbally and physically abused here. But smiting the messenger does not break the teeth of truth, beloved. Amen. Beloved, in our testimony for the Son of God, we must never forget that our position is outside of the camp of worldliness bearing his reproach. What am I saying? I'm saying you're going to be mocked. You're going to be spat upon. You're going to have the door slammed in your face. You're not going to be popular for telling people the truth. But we need to tell them the truth. You're going to be mocked, mark it down, yea, and all those who shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what the problem is with the church in America today? We're fat and lazy. I'm not talking physically, you know, though there is an obesity problem. I'm talking spiritually. The church of America has become anemic spiritually. Why? You know what I pray? Oh, you guys are going to love this one. I pray, Lord, send persecution on the church. Uh-huh. What, Pastor? It'll wake us up. Yeah. Amen? Some good persecution. They throw me in jail. You guys will be stronger as a result. At least you'll come and visit me. Amen. We don't know persecution in America. I talk to preachers overseas where their people are being executed by ISIS and the Boko Haram terrorists, man. That's radical Islam. They don't want to convert you. They want to kill you. They want your head lopped off. And they use dull knives, too. You're going to be mocked. Listen, someone wrote, the easy roads are crowded and the level roads are jammed. The pleasant little rivers with the drifting folks are crammed. But off yonder where it's rocky, where you get a better view, you will find the ranks are thinning and the travelers are few. Where the going's smooth and pleasant, you will always find the throng. For the many more's the pity seem to like to drift along. But the steps that call for courage and that task that's hard to do, in the end results in glory for the never-wavering few. I love that last line. The steps that call for courage and that task that's hard to do, in the end results in glory for the never-wavering few. Are you one of the never-wavering few? Are you one of the faithful like Micaiah? How are you being treated? How are you being treated? He wasn't treated very well, but it's a mark of a true servant of God. You may be hated, you may be mocked, but in heaven, you'll be real popular. Glory to God. One more thing on how he was treated. How he was treated, he was hated, he was mocked. Thirdly, he was imprisoned. Look at verse 25. Then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king. Now notice in verse 26, that Ahab doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, because this was not God's will, what he's about to do. Thus saith the king. See, every reprobate considers their own opinion more important than God's. They consider their own words more important above God's word. Look what he says. Thus saith the king. Put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. Did you catch that last statement of the king? He says, put him in the lowest dungeon and torture him till I come back in peace. He thinks he's going to escape divine judgment, this man Ahab. He's so deceived that he believes the false prophets. Folks, that is satanic deception to the core. He says, I'm going to come back in peace. No, you're not, buddy. You better get Micaiah out of that dungeon and say, what saith the Lord? Mm-hmm. Quick! Before it's too late. How was he treated? He was in prison. Someone said, tell me, what was the purpose of putting Micaiah into prison? To do what? Shut him up. All he wanted to do was shut the man of God up. Don't preach to me that message. I don't like it. It doesn't agree with my theology. I don't believe Israel's going to be restored. I don't believe I have to be born again. I don't believe there's a literal hell burning, you know. They don't believe it. They don't like it, but it's the truth. Listen now. They want to silence the word of God, and their conscience is bothering them. And though it's easy to bind the servant of God, yet the word of God is not bound. Amen? The word of God is spirit, and it is life. And like the wind, it bloweth where it listeth. You can't stop the word of God. The devil knows that and hates it. In 1648, the Pilgrim's Progress came out of the Bedford Jail. And it's been wandering all over the world ever since. They put John Bunyan in prison for preaching the gospel. And Pilgrim's Progress came out of that jail cell. Glory to God. 11 years they shut him up in prison. And listen, they said to Bunyan, They said, just promise us you won't preach the gospel and we'll let you out after 11 years. You know what he said? He said, if you let me out today, I'll be preaching tomorrow. There's a man of God. Amen. Listen, Paul was in prison and he wrote from the Mamertine prison, 2 Timothy 1:9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. When liberty was offered to John Bunyan, he refused because the fourth and final offer upon his condition of abstaining from preaching, he smiled and said, no way. No way. How was Micaiah treated? He was hated. He was mocked. He was imprisoned. But there's one last thing I want you to see, and I'll be done. We saw how he was treated. We saw how he was mocked, how he was hated. We saw these things, but finally, notice what became of his prophecy. Three things from 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Three things became of his prophecy. First, it was fulfilled. Despite those who rejected it, Micaiah's message was fulfilled to the letter. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Then he said, I did see all Israel. This is Micaiah prophesying by the Spirit of God. I did see in vision, God revealed this to him. It had not happened yet. All Israel, that's the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. Something happened to the king. He's gone. He's dead. And the Lord said, these have no master. Ahab's dead. See this? Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And verse 22. Now, therefore, behold, he says, Micaiah, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord had spoken evil against thee. 23. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenina, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek. 24, and Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. 27, and Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, Ahab, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. And he said, hearken, all ye people. Listen, he turned to all the thousands of the Israelites and said, if your king comes back alive, I'm a false prophet. But if he dies in the battle, then you'll know I've spoken the word of God to you. Look at verse 33. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel, Ahab, between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. Yeah, you're wounded, buddy. Look at verse 34. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until even. And about the time of the sun going down, he what?
Died.
He died. Listen to me, beloved. Don't miss this. Refusing to hear the word of God cost Ahab his life. And he went to hell like a bullet. Because he refused to hear the man of God. Oh, beloved, do you know what we're doing here this morning is the most important occupation? This is the most important thing going on in the world right now. This is what God is interested in. Will my people hear my word? Oh, beloved, eternity depends upon hearing what saith the Lord. Ahab found this out the hard way, but his prophecy was fulfilled. Understand here, beloved, that whatever God says will happen, shall come to pass, even though there be many who choose not to believe it. Ahab rejected Micaiah's prophecy. Look at verse 26. Verse 26, Ahab said, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction, water of affliction, until I return in peace. Listen, that's what the Christ rejectors think, that they're going to have peace though they reject the Son of God. That's what the witch covens think, though they use enchantments and demons, and they think they're going to get away with it. That's what the Satanists think, that they can worship the devil and it's going to be okay in the end. It's not okay. That listen, Romans 3:2 said, for unto them, the Jews, were committed the oracles of God. But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? God forbid. He says it doesn't matter if the entire world rejects the Bible. It's still true. It has no effect whatsoever upon the Word of God. There's a whole bunch of people in the world today, folks, that are going to find that truth out the hard way. They're going to find out when they wake up after they take their final breath that God's Word was right. God's Word was true in 1980 in the state of Washington. Seismologists began to receive data that indicated that Mount St. Helens was about to erupt in what would be known as one of the greatest, most catastrophic volcanic eruptions of the 20th century. Listen, of the 67 people that perished in the violent explosion of volcanic ash and lava, there was a man named Henry Tillman. He was 73 years old and had lived on the side of Mount St. Helens in his log cabin his entire life. He was born in it. 73 years he lived in that cabin. Mr. Tillman told authorities, and I quote, "I refuse to believe that she will erupt. And listen, therefore, I will not evacuate my home." He died in the lava flow. You know why? He refused to take heed to the warnings. Ahab refused to heed the warning. I'm so glad that there are faithful men who will proclaim the truth, regardless of who rejects it. Amen? The truth is still the truth. Something else, though, concerning his prophecy. What became of his prophecy? First, it was fulfilled despite those who rejected it. Second, it was fulfilled despite the unbeliever's disguise. Look in verse 28, chapter 18. Look at verse 28. "So the king of Israel, Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself." I hope you're listening, folks. You know what people want to do today? They want to put a mask on. They want to disguise themselves. They want to play church. They want to fool God into making him believe that there's something they're not. And it doesn't work. God sees through Ahab's disguise. Look at it. "I will disguise myself and will go to the battle." But he knew what the prophet said would happen to him, so he disguises himself so it won't happen. "But put thou on thy robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to the battle. Did you see what he did? He told Jehoshaphat to put on his kingly robes, and he disguises himself as a poor peasant. He says, yeah, they'll take out Jehoshaphat, but I'll escape. Verse 30, "Now the king of Syria, Ahab, had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel." The Syrians wanted Ahab dead, because they knew if they killed the leader, they'd all scatter. "And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots," look at it, verse 31, "saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him." Jehoshaphat was a true king. He was a man of God, and God protected him in the battle. Did you see that? Verse 32, "For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture," and just nonchalantly, just cast it toward the crowd of Israelites, "and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." Now folks, listen, he dies. In verse 35, he's dead. Verse 34. Now, listen to me carefully. No man has ever yet been able to disguise himself so that God could not find him out. There was a divine director behind that arrow in verse 33. It was a smart bomb. It could not miss. It was laser guided, man. Listen, it had Ahab's name inscribed on it by God's hand. You know that God controls where the arrows land? That's right. Did you know that God's arrows never miss their mark? So how many people try to disguise themselves against divine judgment? They hide under the disguise of religion. They hide under the disguise of morality. They hide under the disguise of good works. But God sees through their disguise. Without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we'd all perish. 1 Samuel 16:7, don't turn there. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. The Lord looketh at the heart. Bradley, the automotive division of their Thor Corporation, sells a fiberglass body that fits perfectly onto a VW Bug chassis. The body is very sporty in style and design, giving the impression that it is a $65,000 GT on the outside. It looks real expensive, but on the inside, it's still a VW Bug. It's a disguise. It's not real. You can get one for short money. That's how a lot of people are. They are attempting to disguise themselves before God, and it doesn't work. What became of his prophecy? It was fulfilled despite those who rejected it. It was fulfilled despite the unbeliever's disguise. Thirdly and finally, it was fulfilled because it was what God said. Amen? Look at verse 13. And Micaiah said to the king, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. It was fulfilled because it's what God said. Oh, I hope somebody's listening today. Because what God says will occur regardless of what the devil does. Regardless of how many disguises we try to put on, God's word will stand and not man's. It was fulfilled because God said it. Now understand here, beloved, that God's word shall not return to him void, but every word of God is pure, incorruptible, and unfailing. There are no ifs in God's shalls. Amen? No ifs in God's shalls. Do you realize that God is the only person in all of eternity that's never been wrong? He's never missed the mark. He's never told a lie. He's never said something that didn't happen the way he said it. He's the only person in all of eternity. God has never one time failed to accomplish what he said he would do. Ever. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of our God shall stand forever. There's one thing that you can bank on, beloved, this morning. This holy book and what God says in it. It will stand forever. I'm so glad that I came to the point in my life where I began to believe what God said. Amen. It's just that simple. Walter B. Knight wrote, and I quote, one Sunday morning, a wicked, rebellious Christ rejecter was genuinely saved in a church service. The pastor's heart was overjoyed. The edge of his joy, however, was somewhat dulled when he asked the new convert what it was in his sermon that brought him to the Lord. Ah, said the new convert, it wasn't your sermon at all. It was your text, what God said.
The preacher said, oh, I thought I preached a good message. He said, no, it was the scripture you quoted. Amen. The scripture you quote is the power of God. It was God, what God said, and not the preacher. In closing, let me give you this and I'll be done. Listen carefully. Micaiah the faithful is my message this morning. Who was he? He was an holy man of God. He was a tempted man of God. He was a faithful man of God. How was he treated? He was hated. He was mocked. He was imprisoned. How it became of his prophecy? It was fulfilled despite the unbelievers. It was fulfilled despite the disguises. And it was fulfilled because it was what God said. In 1749, during the American Revolution, General Joseph Reed was captured by the English troops. The King of England attempted to bribe the American general by offering him 10,000 guineas to betray his country's cause. The general turned to the king's council and said, gentlemen, I am poor, very poor, but your king is not rich enough to buy me. Amen. He said, I stand for the American flag and what we stand for, liberty, justice for all. And they executed him. Listen, nothing this world has to offer is worth betraying our great master. This is Micaiah, the faithful. Heavenly Father, how we thank you this morning for the incredible example of the man Micaiah. We thank you, dear Lord, that he didn't croak under pressure. We thank you, Lord God, that he stood for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord God, that he did not compromise to please man. And we thank you, Lord God, that what he said, according to your word, came to pass exactly as you said it. We thank you, Lord, that we can be Micaiahs
and Mrs. Micaiahs in the world today. Lord, we can be men and women of faithfulness. We can be men and women of truth. We can be men and women of God and tell them what saith the Lord. Lord, we won't be popular for doing so. But if we put a smile on your face, that's all that matters. We thank you, Lord God, for a true New Testament Bible-believing church today. We thank you that you've opened these doors and you're the one that keeps them open. And Lord, we thank you that you have here, Carol always says it, exactly who you want here. And you're bringing here exactly who you want to come here. We're grateful for that, Lord God. We'd rather be popular in heaven than on earth. We'd rather have the applause of our Heavenly Father than the applause of man. We're so thankful this morning, Lord, that we can be like Micaiah. His name means like the Lord. We want to be like the Lord. We want to be godly men and women. We want to be God-like, like Micaiah. And we want to be Micaiah the faithful. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals in closing this morning. Get a little excited over the prophecy of Micaiah. Glory to God for it. And let's stand. This morning we'll stand for our final hymn, 231. And we'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth. And oh boy, this old hymn of the faith really says it all, church. I need thee every hour. Every second of every minute of every hour. 231. Sing it to the Lord. First, third, and fourth. Love the words. We need them. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like good can be so full. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. On the third, I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. That's who he is. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't forget tonight, folks, at 6. We'll be back in our studies on prophecy of the millennial kingdom. And we'll be looking again at the millennial Jerusalem tonight. It's going to be awesome, I promise you. Father, we thank you this morning for a good service and a good message, Lord, concerning the faithfulness of Micaiah. I'm so thankful this morning, Lord, that we've got a bunch of folk in this church that want to be like Micaiah because they want to be like Jesus. They want to be God-like. And Father, we thank you today that we can, by your Holy Spirit and word and grace, we can be Christ-like. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful that you came to save us from our sin and to conform us to the image of your dear Son. What a privilege. We love you this morning, Father, and we thank you for the encouragement from your word today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks.